Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara Bavitzia Daf Lamed Tes. We continue to learn for the safety and success of all Chayilei Tzal, the Kochos HaBitachon, all the Shotrim. They should all be safe. They should all be successful in everything that they do. B'ezus Hashem, they should bring back the Chatufim b'mheira in good health. And B'ezus Hashem, they should be Shalom in all of Klal Yisrael. Okay, we pick up the Gemara. Three lines from the top, Lamed Tes, Omed Aleph, with the word Tana. We discussed yesterday in Machlokis, both by the Amaroyim, Rabbi Shmuel, also by Tanoim, as to whether we are moridin, do we go and send somebody into the field of a shavuy? If somebody, Rachmon Islam, is captured, so their field is open, do we or do we not send their closest relative, the one who will inherit them, to go and take care of that field? Tana. So we learn now in the Brisa. Again, three lines on the top, Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. V'chulam, in all of these situations, shamim lohem ki'oris. When we do send in the relative to go and take care of the field, if the original owner of the field, the one who had been captive, comes back, so then we pay the relative who went into the field like an oris, the typical sharecropper rate, whether it was a quarter, whether it was a third, or 50%, whatever the normal typical arrangement was in that area, that's what we pay. Now, what scenario are we talking about that we say the chulam shamim lemik oris? There's several possibilities that we discussed in yesterday's share, and we'll chazer it over now. Ahai, under what conditions are we talking about? Ilema shvuyin, if we're talking about a regular case of shvuyin, a regular case where a person was captured, so hashta zoriz v'niskar hava, we had said in that scenario that the relative is entitled to go into the field because they had heard that the person who Nebuch was captured had been killed. There was no definitive proof, but we said that they get to go into the field and they can keep whatever they go and get. So certainly, hashta zoriz v'nizkar hava, they're entitled to go and keep whatever they get. So certainly, may di ashbach mibayit. So would you have to tell me that they get compensated like a sharecropper? So of course they would. So it can't be talking about the case, the regular case of shuyin. So it must be talking about the case, elo aritushim. We had explained yesterday, the ritushim case was where he left. The person left but didn't leave any instructions. So in that situation, the Ritushim case, we said that nobody's allowed to go down into the field. This person left, and if he had wished to give instructions to take care of his field, he would have done so. He, therefore, by definition, doesn't want somebody to go to his field, and if one of the relatives goes into the field, we kick the relative out. So certainly, they wouldn't be entitled to get like a sharecropper. So what is the only possibility? Left elo anitushim, that was the middle case, unitashta. We explained from Shemitah, that shvias tishmitena unitashta. And this is talking about the person who left the field under some duress. So elo anitushim, and who are we talking about? Leman. Ilei mo l'rabbanan. If we're going according to the opinion of the Tanakhama, the Chachamim, so then, ha'amrei motzino, so miyadav. They said, he's not entitled to get like a sharecropper. You go and kick him out of the field, because, again, even though he left under duress, he didn't give any instructions, and therefore, no relative is allowed to go into that field. You're telling me, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, he was the Tana that said that, in fact, moridin, you do get the right to go into the field, so then, ha'amar shamati shanitushim kishvuyim. So he said that the did by the netushim is the same by the shvuyim, where we had heard that they died, and therefore, you're allowed to go get everything. So of course you get like an oris. What's the chiddush then? So the Gemara says, no, it is kishvuyin. It's telling us the case of the shvuyin, however, the low shvuyin, but they're also a little bit not like a shavuy. What does that mean? Kishvuyin below kishvuyin. So kishvuyin, they're like shvuyin in the sense, they ain't mosin or some yodah, that if the relative went down there, we don't go and kick the relative out. However, below shvuyin, but we don't treat it like shvuyin in the sense, diilu hasam, in the case where we knew that the person, the rumor was that he had died, so then, Hossam zoriz v'niska, then the person who went into the field is allowed to go and take whatever they want from that field. V'iluhacha, but in our case of the netushim, shayminon lei ki'oris. Here he doesn't get to go and take whatever he wants, but we pay him like an oris. So that's the chiddush over here of this brisa. It's going within the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel, and it's telling us, yeah, it's like shvuyin, but not like shvuyin. It's really like the netushim case, and you are allowed to go and have the relative go into the field, but they're not going to be entitled to go and take whatever they want. It's not Zoriz v'niskar, but it is Shaiminon le Ki'oris. More questions. This, it says, Umayishno mehodetan. Why is this Brisa, the way we understood this Brisa, different than the following Mishnah? This is a Mishnah in Ksubos, where it tells us, Hamotzio sols anichsi ishto. If a man goes and puts money into his wife's malog field, again, to remind everybody, the nichsi malog are the properties that the wife brings into the marriage. She retains total ownership of those, but the usufruction rights, the payros, they belong to the husband. So in this situation, if a man puts money into his wife's malog properties, so they're not his properties. He's putting it in there in order to maybe have a better yield of crops, but he's benefiting in his wife's field. So Hotzi Harbe, let's say he put in a great effort. He spent a lot of money fertilizing the field. And it only produced a little bit more than it would have produced without his great effort in fertilization. Or vice versa. Kima, he only put in a little bit. He spent a little bit of money on fertilization, and it was a real bounty crop. V'yochel Harbe. So either way, whether he put in a little bit and he got a lot back, or he put in a lot and he only got a little bit back, mash hotzi hotzi, his expense is what his expense was, mash ochel ochel, and he's entitled to get what he got. He's not entitled to say, well, I put in $100, he only got back 50, you owe me 50. No, whatever he put in, that's what he put in. Whatever he gets back, that's what he gets back. So this Mishnah seems to contradict that which we just brought down for Rav Shimon Gamliel, that we view him as an aris, that scenario of the netushim, that's, we get like an aris, so you got a percentage. You'll get 25%, 33%, or 50%. Here it says, Masha Ochal Ochal. He gets whatever it was. He doesn't get a percentage. So Gemara says, no, because that Mishnah is not comparable to the Netushim. Holodamia Ela Loha Ditnan. Now that's the Girsu that we have, Loha Ditnan. But on the side it brings down, it's actually not a Mishnah. It's the Omer of Yaakov, Omer of Chista. And this is V'chenu B'ksubos Pei Omer Aleph. So the more correct gears, it's not a Mishnah, but this Netushim case of Rav Shimon Gamliel works well in accord with this opinion of Rav Yaakov, who said it over in the name of Rav Chista. And what is that? Hamotzi osos anivsi ishto ketana. If a man put effort into his wife, who's a ketana's field, so it was a nivsi maluk of his wife, who's a ketana, kimotzi al nivsi acher domi. This is no different than if he put in money into somebody else's field, who he doesn't have the rights to go and use it, but he went and put in money into that field, so he's given a certain level of compensation. If you went and improved somebody else's field, you're given a certain amount of compensation. And that's based upon how much effort you put into the field, not how much the field yielded. So if you put in X number of dollars, you're entitled to get a compensation for X dollars. So there, Alma, kibun de lo somcha daite, in that situation, since the husband wasn't guaranteed, he wasn't somich his das, that he would keep that wife's property, so therefore, takinu le rabbanon, kihechi de lo lusadenu. So the rabbi said, listen, you may or may not get to keep that nifse miluk property. If you divorce it, you won't keep it. If you die first, you won't get it. So therefore, the rabbis wanted to make sure that the person would go and be taking best interest of that field. So therefore, they would pay him back. That's what Rav Yaakov Amar Rav Chista said. They would pay him back based upon what he put in. So too, in the case of the Netushim property, Hochanami, Takinu Lerabbanan, Kihechi Dolov Sedinu. So here, the rabbis also said, Rav Shimon Gamliel is telling us that we want to make sure that this person takes care of the field properly. So therefore, Takinu Lerabbanan, Kihechi Dolov Sedinu. In other words, in both this case where the person is putting in money into his wife who's a ketana, is similar to the case of the Netushim, where they're both putting in effort and money, but they're not sure that they're going to, quote, get it back. So therefore, the rabbis were misakin in this situation in order that they take care of the property properly, so they were compensated in a certain way in order that they shouldn't have a hefset to the property. So therefore, those are the cases that are comparable, and not it's not comparable to the Mishnah from Kisubas that we just brought down. Now the Brisa says further, the Hulon Shomim Lohem Kioris, that we go and pay them, the people that were put into the field, we pay them like an Oris. What does it mean, V'chulon? Again, what case are we talking about? V'chulon L'Isuye Mai. What exact case are we talking about? So it's coming, L'Isuye Hodama Rav Nachman Meshvul. This is coming to include the case that Rav Nachman Meshvul said, which was Shavui Shenishba, when you have the person Nebuch that was taken into captivity, Moridin Karov L'Nechosav. So the basin goes and sends the closest relative into the field to take care of that field. Now, Yotzo L'Das, if the person, however, who wasn't captive, he just left. And he didn't go and do this under any duress. So then, ein moridim karov l'nechasav. Then we don't go and put the karov into the field. Rav Nachman didei, however, Omar boreach harehu kishavui. Rav Nachman himself said that if somebody's running away, so then he is like a shavui, and we do go and put the closest relative into the field to take care of the field. And therefore, this v'chulon comes to include this case, according to Rav Nachman, of boreach. But the Gemara says it depends why he was boreach, why he left. Boreach machmas mai. Ilema machmas kroga. If you're telling me it's because he didn't pay his taxes, so then, hainu l'dat. So then this guy says, listen, the taxes are due on April 15th. If I don't pay the taxes, they're going to throw me in jail. So he leaves before then. So that's leaving voluntarily. And therefore, he didn't instruct anybody to come to his field. In that situation, this boreach is like a person who left voluntarily, and therefore, ein moridim. karuv l'mechasev. So we must obviously be talking about el borech machmas mardin. We're talking about somebody who is under threat of the government coming to arrest him and kill him. As Rashi points out, machmas mardin means shoharegas nefesh, he killed somebody, uparsoi, and according to the Persian rules, horgin ashrichas domim, he'll be killed. Even if he didn't kill intentionally, he'll be killed if he killed somebody else. As Warren Bava Kama tells us, we didn't learn this not that long ago, mardin means ritzicha in Persian. And therefore, the person is running away suddenly, so therefore he didn't have a chance to appoint somebody. And in this situation, Rav Nachman says, Boreach hareyu kishavoy, that moridin korov limichasov. We have another din. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, shavoy shenishba, if a person, Rechman al-Islam, was taken captive, v'yiniach komu liktzor, and the field was ready to be harvested, or the anovim, the grapes, were ready liktzor, were ready to be picked. Or the tamarim, the dates, were ready ligdar, to be picked. That's the word for harvesting for tamarim, for dates. There are different expressions, verbs that are used in Hebrew for the different types of produce when you go and harvest them. Or you had zeisim, you had olives, limsok. They were ready to be picked as well. So again, all of these words mean the same thing. The wheat or the grapes or the dates or the olives were ready to be harvested, and the guy had been captured and he left the field. So what does the basin do? Basin yardin l'chosav. Basin sends somebody into his field. That's what the Gemara continues. It says, "Umamidin apotropis." They go look into it and see what needed to be done, and they go send in this apotropis, this guardian, to take care of the field. Now, bedavka, this apotropis, Rashi tells us, a shomu lebalim, to protect the field. However, this person is not a relative. V'kotzer, and he will go and go harvest, u'botzer, and he will go and pick all the grapes. V'go, they'll pick the tamarim, and u'botzer, will pick the olives. And afterwards, after this is done, they'll arrange to have the closest relative go and take care of the field, and he'll be paid like an oris. Now, the difference between the apotropis is he doesn't get paid for this. He's a volunteer. And then the karuv, he's going to get paid like a sharecropper. He'll get 25, 33, or 50% of the crop. So the Gemara asks the obvious question. If you have a volunteer that's willing to do all this harvesting, so v'lokim apotropo liolim, why not have a volunteer do this all the time and save the original owner of the field from having to pay his relative who comes in to take care of the field as a sharecropper, the 25, 33, or 50% wages that he would be entitled to, just appoint an apotropos for free? So the Gemara says, apotropo l'diknoni lo mikuminon, because it's very unusual to get somebody to be a volunteer for diknoni, means people with a beard. Dokon, the Dalit and the Zion are interchangeable, so it means for people who have beards. In other words, for an orphan, you're going to get a lot of people to volunteer to be the guardian of the orphans, because they feel never so sad for those orphans, so people will volunteer. But why would somebody say, listen, I'll go volunteer to take care of this field for this adult? Let the adult hire somebody to go take care of the field. So yes, on a short-term basis, to go get somebody to harvest the field because the guy was in captivity, so you'll get somebody to volunteer. But after that, you're going to have to put the relative in there because nobody's going to do this for free. Similarly, Amar Rav Huna said, "Ein moridim katan l'nefsei shavui." We don't allow a katan, even though he's the closest relative, to go and take over the field of the one who's captured, because of the obvious reasons that he doesn't know how to take care of a field. He's a katan. And likewise, below karov l'nefsei katan. And likewise, we don't allow a karov, a relative, to go in and be the one who's installed in to take care of the field of the properties of a katan. Because as we'll see in the Gemara, the concern is that that person will then say, this is my field, and the katan will never know the difference. And he won't know that it's really his field. He'll think it's his relative's field, and the relative was the one that inherited and not him. And finally, below karov, machmas karov l'nefsei katan. And likewise, we don't allow the maternal relative of a paternal relative of the katan to go and into the field. Because even though there's no way you would say that that maternal relative of the paternal relative who's taking in the field for the katan is any way possible to go and be the yoreish, so it could lead, however, to a scenario where it could be falsified, or it could come out that it's mistaken, that people will think that that maternal relative actually was the inheritor of the field, when it really could not have been a maternal relative, it would have to have been a paternal relative. Now, the Gemara explains this. I'm not sure why the Gemara doesn't give it the same exact order. We just have three cases here now. We had 1, 2, and 3, and the Gemara explains it 1, 3, and 2. I'm not sure why, but in any event, it explains it. So, Eimo Ridum Katan L'Nefsei Shavui, that was the first case. You don't put a katan to go take care of the field, because obviously, Dilma Mavsalu, he doesn't know how to properly take care of the field, and he won't harvest it properly, he won't go and fertilize it properly, he won't let it lie fallow properly, etc., etc. Then it gives us the explanation for case 3. V'lo karov machmas karov l'nifsei katan. We don't allow And Rashi tells us this in the Ramask of Lokaru about 6 lines up from the bottom. Kigon, Katan, Sheishlo, Och Me'ov. This Katan inherited this field, and he has a paternal brother. Now, that paternal brother, the Osa Och Me'av, that is his paternal brother, Yeshlo Och Me'en. He has a half brother that has the same mother as him. Now, that half brother of the paternal brother cannot in any way be inheriting this Katan. The Ish Nachrihu Eitzel Katan. He is totally unrelated when you consider it to the Katan whose field we're talking about. It is the Katan's paternal brother's maternal brother. They're not at all related to each other. However, Emoridin also Och Me'em Linusle Katan. We don't allow this maternal brother of the paternal brother to the Katan to go and be the person that we put into that field, because Machmas Kirvas Och, because he is a relative of the paternal brother, and therefore it could be possible to Oselach Zuke Bahach Litzorich Ochiv. He will go and take over that field, he's saying, on behalf of his paternal brother who inherited the field, and it could lead to a problem for the Katan. And finally, we go back to the Gemara. Below Karov Lenifse Katan. We don't allow a Karov to the Katan to go take over the field because Kivin Lomachi, because the Katan is not going to know to protest. So Osilach Zukebe. So this paternal brother who's taking over the field, he's going to say it was his field. And the little brother, the Katan, is not going to know or be any wiser, and he'll end up losing the field. Okay, so that's what Rav Huna said. Amar Ruava, Ruava tells us, Shma Minu Amid Rav Huna, we can see from Rav Huna's din that we just learned, Ein Machzik Menichse Katan, that one cannot go and make a chazaka on the properties of a Katan, because the Katan isn't expected to know what's going on. As Rashi says, Rav Huna tells us, Shma Minu Amid Rav Huna, the Amar Ein Moridim Karov Lenichse Katan, because Rav Huna said, you don't put a Katan property in the hands of a relative, because Shema Yachzik Bohem Machmas Yerusha, because this relative is going to say, I was the one that Yarshin did, and the Katan is not going to know any better. Aval Acher, but a person who's not related, She'enlo Tainas Yerusha, that person has no potential to say, I Yarshin did, so then, Moridim, we place such a non-relative into the Katan's field, Velo Chayshinon, Shema Yiton Aviv Shol Katan Mochrumli, and we don't concern ourselves to say that this non-relative will say, oh, I purchased it from your father. That much we're not certain, because other people will know that. But here, when it's a relative, people aren't going to necessarily know the fine details. And we turn to Lama Tesla Mibes to discuss this further. This is true that we don't place the Katan field into the hands of a relative, that's even Vafilu Higdil, even if the child now is a gadol. So this chazaka that this relative is taking care of the field is now 3 years after the child became a gadol, we still don't allow this to occur. Why is that? Because Lo Amar and Ella Biache Di Abba. We don't say this except for brothers that could be inheritors of him, because this young child will not know, this katan will not know, and therefore he'll assume, he won't be able to protest that this brother, this paternal brother, was the one that really inherited the field. And therefore, we only say this for ba'achei di abba. I will be achei di ima. If it's a maternal brother, then less than, but we're not concerned, according to this interpretation that Rav is giving us right now, because the maternal brother can't be an inheritor. The achei di abba, and even the brother who's a paternal brother, we said that's only a problem. Nami lo amirin ela bi'arosa. That's only when you're dealing with fields, because not everybody knows whose fields were inherited by who. Avo babati, but in houses, so everybody knows that that's the young child's house. So less than but, we don't have to be concerned. And similarly, will bi'arosa nami lo amirin, even in a field where not concerned, Ella de lo ovid itda, or some of the years of itra, that we don't have a shtar. Rashi says itda is a shtar chaluka. This was the division of the properties, so there is no shtar. Then we don't allow the brother to go in there. But if we have a shtar saying what the division was, aval ovid itda, so then kol isle, everybody's going to know about it, and therefore we don't have to be concerned that he's going to try to usurp this property from his katan brother. Now, all of these statements that Rava had made qualifying Rav Huna, the Gemara now says Velohi. None of them are correct. We're concerned in every one of them, even though there was a valid reason to maybe think you shouldn't be concerned, but the Gemara retracts that and says Velohi. In fact, we don't make any distinction whatsoever between any of these cases. We don't allow a relative or somebody that could possibly cause trouble over here for the Katan to be put into the Katan's field. Lo Shno, we don't make any difference between the Achid the Abba, Lo Shno, Achid the Ima. We don't worry let a paternal or maternal brother come in, because as we pointed out already previously on the Omen Aleph, that there could be concerns even with a maternal brother, because he could make a claim on behalf of his paternal brother. And it doesn't make a difference whether it's a field, the Loshno Bati. We made a distinction between the houses which people would know about and the fields which people may not know about. Here we remove that distinction. And Loshno Avin Itida, the Loshno Lo Avin Itida. And we don't make a distinction whether there's Shtar Chalukah or there is no Shtar Chalukah. Even if there is a Shtar Chalukah, there's potential for trouble. And the bottom line is Lo Machtinon. We don't put in a relative to be the person in charge of the field of this Katan, because there's a potential that the Katan will lose the field to this relative. There once was a woman, a grandmother, okay, an elderly woman. The Havya Law Tlas Binosa. She had three girls. She had girl number one, girl number two, girl number three. Now, none of them have husbands at this point in time, not the grandmother and not her three daughters. So, Nebuch Ishtaboy Ihi V'chod Debrata. This woman, Nebuch, was captured and put into captivity along with one of her daughters. So, let's say daughter number one is born into captivity along with the grandmother. Now, Idoch Tarte Binosa. The other two daughters, daughter number two and daughter number three, Shechiva Chaminayu, one of them died, Vishavka Yanuka. So daughter number two passed away, but daughter number two had a son. So daughter number two's death, however, her son takes her place in it as an inheritor. Now he doesn't inherit solely, he just inherits on the strength of his mother. So his mother will inherit one third of the estate, like the other two daughters each get one third of the estate. And the third daughter, she was not captured, and she's alive, and she's in the picture. So you have daughter number one, who's captured, daughter number two, Nebuch, who died, who has a son, and daughter number three, who was not captured. And the grandmother is captured as well. So what's the halacha? Omer bayi, hechi nabed, what should we do to take care of the properties of this safta, of this grandmother? Should we place all of the properties in the hands of the one sister, sister number three, daughter number three, who has not been captured? She's around. Daughter number two is Nebuch dead. Daughter number one is captured. So the only one of the three sisters that you can give the property to is daughter number three. Well, you can't do that because Dilma Shriva Safta, maybe the grandmother's actually died, and therefore this daughter number three inherits part of the field. She'll inherit one third of the field, and daughter number two's son, he'll inherit the other third of the field, and daughter number one, who's in captivity still, would inherit the other third. So, Ein Moridin Karov L'Nitzikata, but you can't let daughter number three care for all of the fields, because as we just brought down from Rav Huna, you can't have somebody go who is a relative, and therefore could possibly take over the field, take care of the field of a katan. So, daughter number three can't be the sole person in charge of the field, because part of this field is owned by the katan, the son of daughter number two, who passed away. So that son, he's around, and if daughter number three were to be taking care of the field, she would be taking care of the field of a katan, who's a relative, which you're not allowed to do. So that's why Abaye says, we got a problem over here. If we let daughter number three take care of everything, we have the problem, the ein moridim katan l'nifsei katan, ein moridim karov l'nifsei katan, the nokminu l'nifsei biyodo di yinuka. Oh, so let's give half of it to the daughter number three, and the other half to the katan. That you can't do either, because duma lo shchiva safta. Maybe, in fact, the grandmother hasn't died, daughter number one hasn't died, and this field really belongs to the grandmother. And duma lo shchiva safta, they were even katan, let's say shavui. You can't go give this katan the field, because he's not going to know how to take care of it properly. So what do you do? So Abaye says, Omer Abaye, Hilkach, you know what we do. Palgo yavino lo liachsa. We give half of the property over to daughter number three, because she is... Again, daughter number one, we're assuming, is out of the picture right now with the safta, and therefore daughter number three is entitled to half of it, and the son of daughter number two is entitled to the other half. So, palgo yavino lo leachsa, we give half of the field to daughter number three to take care of. V'idok palgo, and the other half of the field, mokminu le apotropo liyanuka. We appoint an apotropos to go and take care of this field on behalf of the katan. This way, the katan is not taking care of the field, and the relative is not taking care of the field, but the apotropos will take care of the field for this son of daughter number two. That's what Abaye says. Rava says, no, once you're ready appointing an apotropos, Rava Amar, once you found an apotropos to go take care of half the field for the katan, so migu de mokminan apotropa le palga, so therefore mokminan le apotropa le idoch palga. Once you already found the volunteer that's willing to take care of half the field, Mistam, he'll be willing to take care of the whole field, and then you don't have to have daughter number three go and take care of the field at all. Just the apotropos will take care of the field, and this way, in case the safta is alive and she comes back to the field, there won't be any charge, and it will be the best situation for her. Now, what happened in this scenario? This was a Maisa Shaya. Lesof Nebuch Shamu Dishchiva Safta. Nebuch, the Safta passed away. The grandmother passed away. But we still don't know what happened to daughter number one. Daughter number one was also taken as captive, but we don't know if daughter number one is still alive. So Abaye says, in this situation, we now have to divide up the estate into three parts. Daughter number one is entitled to her third. The son of daughter number two is entitled to his mother's third. And daughter number three gets the other third. So Tilso Yovina Liliachsa. Daughter number three, she's definitely given one third of the field. That is absolutely hers. There's no doubt about that. Now, the Tilsa Yavina Leyanuka, and one third we give definitely to the son of daughter number two, because he's definitely entitled to inherit his mother's one third. So those two thirds are easily taken care of. Daughter number three gets one third. The son of daughter number two gets one third. And what do we do with the other one third that belongs to daughter number one, who's in captivity? Vidach Tilsa, that additional one third, Yavinan Danka Liachsa. Danka is a six. So we break up that one third of the field that's for daughter number one, who's in captivity, and we break it up. So a half of a third is a six. So Yavinan Danka, you give one sixth of that Liachsa to daughter number three. The Idach Danka, and the other sixth, the other half of the third, we give that to an apotropos for the young person. Because if, in fact, the daughter number one is alive, you can't give over her share into the hands of a katan, because he might ruin it. So therefore, you need an apotropos to appoint for that half. And you can't give it over into daughter number three, because maybe it belongs to, in fact, this young boy. Maybe daughter number one passed away, and you can't have a karov taking care of the estate of a katan. So therefore, in this situation, you have to appoint an apotropos. So for the half of the six that belongs to possibly the young boy, daughter of the son of daughter number two, so an apotropos will take care of that six. And the other six you give over to the daughter number three. Rava says no. Rava Amar, once you're ready to appoint an apotropos for that one third, Migu Demokmina, Demokim Apotropa Ladanka, since you're appointing for that one third, half of it, the one sixth, you're appointing an apotropos, so then it might as well appoint the whole one third in apotropos. Mokmina Nami Apotropa Liidoch Danka. So Rava says, like he did before, that you appoint the apotropos, let him do the whole job, not just half the job, and this way, a daughter who's still in captivity, if in fact she's alive, so now this apotropos is taking care of that field for free. And if in fact, Shnebuch is dead, so then the apotropos is administrating over here, both for the son of daughter number two and for daughter number three. Okay, I hope that wasn't too complicated, but let's go weiter. Another Maisa Shoya. There was a person by the name of Mari Bar Isak. He's a tough guy, as we'll see. Mari Bar Isak also lay Acha Mibechozoi. Rashi explains that what happened over here was that Mari Bar Isak's father, Isak, he went to Bechozoi, the Nasa Shom Isha, and he had a second wife over there. Not Mari's mother, but this Isak had a second wife in the city of Bechozoi, and she gave birth to a son. The Nasa Shom Isha, the Yodolo Och. So Mari has a half-brother who comes from Bechozoi. But Mari went home, back to his hometown, and this half-brother stayed with his mother in Bechozoi. And Mari hasn't seen him for many, many, many years. Now, Isak passes away. Mari inherits him, but now this half-brother from Bechazoi comes and says, I'm entitled to half of the estate. So, this is the scenario. Amalei, this half-brother from Bechazoi says to Mari, Pelogli, split the estate. It's not all yours. I'm entitled to half. I'm also a son. Assume nobody's a Bechar over here, so you get half and I get half. So Mari says, I don't know you. Amalei, lo yadanaloch, I don't know you. I know I had a half-brother over there, but I don't know who you are. You may be claiming you're my half-brother, but I don't recognize you. They hadn't seen each other for some period of time. So they went to Din Torah. They went to Ruchista, and Ruchista said to this half-brother, Amalei, Shapir Kamaloch, what Mari is telling you is correct. And we see this from Yosef and his brother, Shenemar. The pasuk tells us by Yosef, when he sees his brothers coming to look for him, so Vayaki Yosef is Echav, Yosef recognizes his brothers, but they didn't recognize him. And Rashi brings down all Gemara over there on the spot. When Yosef had left him, he was a 17-year-old boy. He didn't have a beard. And now, when they're seeing him all these years later, so he suddenly has a big, thick beard, and therefore they don't recognize him. So too, this brother, who was a half-brother from Bechazai, so when Mari had left him, he was a young boy, and he didn't have a beard. Now this guy's coming with a full beard, and Mari says, I don't recognize you. So that's a legitimate statement. So therefore, that's what Rav Chisda told this half-brother. Now, Amalei. So Rav Chisda told his half-brother, Zil Aisi Saadi, the Achua'at. Go and bring witnesses that says that you are, in fact, the half-brother of this Mari, and then you'll be entitled to half the estate. But this half-brother from Bechozoi says, Amalei, Isli Saadi, I have plenty of witnesses. However, V'dacha Le'mineh, they're afraid of Mari Barisak, because this Mari is a tough guy. The Gavro Alimahu, he's a very strong guy, and they're afraid of him, and they're not going to come and testify. So what does Rav Chisda do? Amalei Lididei. So Rav Chisda then tells Mari, so listen, you go bring those witnesses. Zil Ant Aisi Sahade de Lavachuchu. Go and bring those very witnesses and have them testify that he is not your brother. In other words, their witnesses, those witnesses are afraid to come. Well, you go bring them and let them testify. If they testify that he's your brother, so then he's your brother. And if they testify that he's not your brother, then you win the case. So Mari says to Rav Chisda, Amalei, Dina Hachi, is this the halacha? He's supposed to bring the witnesses. Hamotzi b'chamer ol v'raya. So why do I have to bring witnesses? He should have to bring the witnesses. So Rav Chisda says, no. In this situation, when we're dealing with tough guys like you, that is the halacha. We flip around. Amalei, Hachi dainina na loch. This is what you have to go and do in a situation for you and all you tough guys, all alime dechavach, and all of your tough guy friends. When you're scaring the other side, so we don't make them bring the raya, you have to bring the raya. So Mari says to Rav Chisda, Amalei, what difference would it make? So if they're afraid of me, I'll bring them here, but they're not going to testify. Also sadi v'omisadi. If you're telling me that they're afraid to come, so what does it make a difference? If I go bring them, they're still not going to be coming to testify. So it doesn't make any sense. So Rav Chisda says it does. Amalei, tarti lo ante. One thing they may do, they may be afraid to come, but once they come, they're not going to be afraid to say the truth. So therefore, go and bring them. Nope. Bottom line is, Lusov, at the end, these witnesses came, Mari brought them, and they in fact said that this half-brother is your brother, and therefore you have to go split the estate with him. Okay, asked and answered. This guy is proven to be the brother, we have witnesses, so therefore Mari has to split the estate with his half-brother. Now, the half-brother says, Amalei, this half-brother says to Rav Chisda, Liflogli nani, let Mari by Isaac also give to me pardise. Rashi says this is kromim, this is vineyards, and bustani. Rashi says this means bison shalilonos. This is like an orchard of other types of trees. Because, after all, he did this not only on his behalf, he did it on the estate's behalf. And I'm entitled to half of the estate. So Chisda tells Mari, listen, taka amalei, shaper kamalach. Your half-brothers, taka right. Because we learned in the Mishnah, there's a Mishnah in Bava Basra. Towards the end of Bava Basra, it says, he niach bonim gedolim. Uktanim, if a person dies and the children, some of them are gedolim and some of them are ketanim, and the gedolim take care of the estate, v'yishbichu gedolim esen chosim, but they went and put money in and improved the field, so hishbichu la'emtza. They didn't only improve it for themselves, they don't say, well, the estate was worth $1,000, and now we improved it and it's worth $2,000, so the $1,000 we split evenly, but the extra $1,000 we only give it to the children that worked on it. No. They worked on it for everybody. So therefore, everybody's entitled to the improvements in the field. So Rav Chisda tells Mari, based upon this Mishnah, on Daf Kof Mem Gimel in Bava Basra, so in fact, your half-brother is entitled to half the improvements in the field that you made. Just like the Mishnah says, so you, Mari, are the Gadol, you will mashbiach this field for your half-brother in Chozoi, and therefore, the benefits accrue to both of you. Even though you did all the work, he gets half the benefits. And we turn to Mem Amud Aleph. And not only is this the Mishnah in Bava Basra, V'chein Amar Rabba, Hishbichu L'Yemtza. We paskin this way. Rabba said that we, in fact, paskin this way. Now, this is a little bit strange for a number of reasons. Let's look at the top Rashi, who explains this. V'chein Amar Rabba, Hishbichu L'Yemtza. So Rashi says, Lo Garsinan. It doesn't make sense to say, V'chein Amar Rabba over here. She'ein Zaloshim Gemara, L'Habi Divri HaMarayim, Siyul HaMishnah. Says, the way I learned it was that we paskin, but that's not what the Gemara actually says. It seems to be bringing an Amora to support that which we said in the Mishnah, which is very, very strange, because the Mishnah is the Raya. The fact that an Amora agrees to that Mishnah would be strange for us to bring it. That's point number one. Furthermore, Rashi says, Ode, Rabba Tamige de Rav Chisda. Who's bringing this din down? Rav Chisda. So very, very unlikely that he's going to bring his Talmud to go and support it. Ode, Rabba Tamige de Rav Chisda Hava, Vehechi Omer Rav Chisda, Shmaiso Mishmei. So it wouldn't make any sense, the Chain Omer Rabba, that Rav Chisda would go and quote his Talmud. So Rashi says, if you do have the gears over here, Vehechi Omer Rabba, Vigorisle, V'chein omar Rav Garsinon, Shio Rabo Shirov Chisto. Oh, it's not Rabba, but Bigoris over here, Rav. Now, Rav Chisto would certainly bring Rav as a raya to him because Rav was his Rebbe. Mishum Dikal Mandyom Bava Basra, because this Gemara that we just quoted from Daf Kuf Mem Gimel in Bava Basra, there's another Mandyom that says, Lo Shanu Elo Sheshavchu Nechasim Machmas Nechasim. That was the improvements go to the middle only when the Nechasim were improved because of those Nechasim. Aval Shachu Machmas Atzmon Shal Achim. It was really effort that was put in by the Achim, so then Ishbichu Liatzmon. Then they do get it, according to this other Mandyom. And Omer of Chisto, Loha de Rav, Hochol and Neymar, the less lon haishmaisa. Oh, so when he's quoting Rav, it's really the chain omar Rav, is to tell us we don't pass like that other man the omar. Even if they themselves did the work and effort, shall mashbichin, ki hocha de shosal pardes, hishbichu lemza. It goes into the middle. So that's how you have to understand this. The girsa can't be the way I simply said it, the chain omar Rav. Rashi explains how you have to explain it. Now, that is what Rav Chisto paskens. Amalei Abaye, Abaye says, Midami, the two cases aren't comparable. After all, there, Hosom Gidolim Gabi Kitanim Yodei. In the case from the Gemara, in Bava Basra, on Kuf Mem Gimel, so the older brothers, they know that there are younger brothers, and they're doing it all on their behalf. V'komachle, and they're willing to give up their effort, so to say, to help out their younger brothers. Hocha, this Mari, he didn't even know that this half-brother from Bechuzoi was coming here. So therefore, who says that he's willing to give up his rights and saying, okay, it all goes to the middle. No, maybe he's only doing it for himself. So Gemara says, Igal Gomilsa, they brought Rav Chisda's psak over here, Umotel Kami de Ravami, to ask Ravami, what does he think? And Amalhu, he told the Tamidim, Gidol Mizu, more than that which Abaye just said. Amru Shamim Lehem Ki Aris. The halacha is that when we put the relative in there, we allow the relative to go and be compensated like an aris. So therefore, if we say, Amru Sham Lem Ki Aris, if we allow the relative to take like an aris, so hashto didei lo yovino lei. So here, if he's entitled, when it's not his to be paid and compensated like an aris, so certainly when Mari did all the effort on his field, so then he certainly should be able to be compensated for, and we shouldn't give it to the younger brother. So that's what Rav Ami paskened. Now, so they told Rav Chisto what Rav Ami had said, and Amalu, he told them, no, that's not correct. Midami, that's not comparable. In the case of putting the relative into the field, so he's going with the Rishus of Beistin, and therefore, he's entitled to be compensated like an Oris. However, here, when Mari went into the field, he technically wasn't allowed to go into the field because it was half his brother's field. And furthermore, he owed Katanu, his brother was a katan, assuming at the time. They marinim karv, let's say katan. As we pointed out from Rav Huna, you don't go place a relative into the field of a katan because ultimately, say, it belongs to him. So therefore, Rav Chisda proves Rav Ami wrong. They went back to Rav Ami and told him that. Azur lekameh to Rav Ami, they went back and told Rav Chisda's rationale to Rav Ami, and he said he's 100% right. Amalu, lo siyamua kamai. I don't disagree with that. They didn't give me the full picture. The katanu, they didn't tell me that he was a katan. If I had known he was a katan, the katan who, then I would have passed exactly like Rav Chisda, exactly in the way that he did, and Mari would have had to go and give over half of the shevach to his younger brother from Bei Chazoi. This is a good breakpoint. With this, we conclude today's shiur.